Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Good morning. It's so awesome to see our family today. You know, we don't have family in Australia. Well, no, we do have someone in Perth, JJ's cousin's son. But really, we don't have family in Australia. So you are a family. So coming on a Sunday is like going home for Christmas lunch or Sunday lunch or, you know. So we love it. I stood down there and I smiled a few times because I thought, God, you have such a sense of humour. You know when you go to class when you were in uni, when you are in uni, or when you go to a conference, we do some teaching and then we go, right, now we are going to activate this. We're going to do the practical. Well, this morning you've done the practical. Now we're going to do the teaching. So it's just like, remember when you did that? This is the theory behind it. It was quite funny. I thought, God, you have such a sense of humor. Anyway, so this month of September has been the month of open heaven. It's not going to be the only time there's an open heaven, but we believe from this point onwards, we actually will recognize the open heaven, not just when we come together, but in our houses, you know, every morning, every day, right through the day, wherever we move, we will be aware of the open heaven over our lives. We looked at living under an open heaven, partnering with an open heaven over our lives. Last week, JJ spoke about the keys to hosting an open heaven. Sorry, this is shiny and I can't see my sermon. Anyway, there we go. And today I want to bring it to a close and I want to look at, so how do we maintain an open heaven over our lives? A couple of months ago, I decided it is time to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Can't do it in one go, but I want to read it chronologically as a story. I want to see how the one walked in through the other one. Because when you just read a Bible book here and you read one there, it never makes the full story. So then when JJ asked me, honey, you're going to preach because I'm going to Awakening Australia. Thank Lord for Awakening Australia. No, that was not my thought. I was like, what are you thinking? But it made me think of the story I read about Jacob in Genesis 28. And I'm like, good thing I started reading the Bible in Genesis. But it's also known as the story, the Jacob's Ladder. If you start searching, it comes up as Jacob's Ladder. So I want to take you to Genesis 27 and 28 this morning. Now, if you've been a believer for a while or you went to Sunday school like I did, you most probably be familiar with Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were the sons of Isaac, or shall I say Esau and Jacob, because Esau was the oldest, although they were twins. They were Abraham's grandchildren. Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. Everyone knew it, and she wanted only the best for him, like every mum does. So in Genesis 28, we pick up this story where Rebekah and Jacob deceived Isaac to give Jacob Esau's blessing as the firstborn. And now Esau is planning to kill him because he was really upset about that. Jacob sets out on this journey to escape his brother's fury under the guise of finding a wife from his mother lineage. So this is where we're going to pick it up. Genesis 28 verse 10 to 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a staircase resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abram, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." I want to stand still at the dream that Jacob had. There was an open heaven over this place where Jacob lay down to sleep. He didn't realize that when he lay down and when he chose the place to spend the night. He didn't realize it was a sacred place in the spiritual realm. He did not set out and hope that he will have an encounter with God in his sleep. He was just trying to get away from his brother Esau and hopefully find a wife and stay alive. Dr. Brian Simmons, you might have heard of him, he's a scholar and he's also the author of the Passion Translation. Now, he believes that God appeared to Abram at that exact place. Genesis 12, verse 7 to 8, God promised Abram that he will give his descendants that land. You can go and read the promise. Abram built an altar there. Who knows? Maybe the stone that Jacob chose to put his head down on was one of the stones from the altar that Abram built for God many, many years before. Jacob arrives at that same place where God made a promise to his grandfather at least 125 years earlier. And God comes and he confirms that promise to Abram, to Jacob. Jacob might have received his blessing from his father through deceit. But you know what? He was chosen by God, even before his birth, to carry the blessing of a nation. Genesis 25. Now, through this story, I want to focus on three keys that I believe will help us to maintain an open heaven over our lives. The first one, and that's what we did this morning, having an awareness of God's presence. When we were worshiping, we became aware of his presence. You could feel it. I want to look at verse 16 to 17. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Jacob acknowledged God's presence as soon as he woke up. He surely was not looking for God when he lay down. He was in such a place of turmoil and discomfort. And I wonder if Jacob was saying to himself, "Jacob, what were you thinking?" I did say that a few times to you, hate. His name is Jacob, if you didn't know. Anyway, what were you thinking? Deceiving your father and your brother? Now you are fleeing for your life and you are all alone. Or maybe he was blaming his mum because she is the one that came up with the plan in the first place. But how many times in our lives does the place of discomfort end up leading us to an encounter with Jesus? For JJ and myself, we've become aware of this in the last 12 months. You know, our 12 months in Queensland was a time of much discomfort, far more than it was of comfort. There were many times we wanted to flee away from the calling that we believed that God placed on our lives because it kept leading us to pain, disillusion, and disappointment. But you know, when you are in that place, you cannot see the forest for the trees. You're so consumed with the situation you find yourself in and trying to make plans to get out of the forest of thoughts. But now in hindsight, we're looking back at those years of discomfort and we can see what God birthed and cultivated in us during those uncomfortable times. And I think for us, we can say, like Jacob, surely the Lord really was in that place. It's in moments like those that ordinary places become holy places. For us, I guess it was called the Gold Coast. I was wondering if you're going to get that one. Anyway, to maintain an open heaven in our lives, over our lives, we need to constantly be aware of God's presence everywhere we go, every moment of the day. When we become aware of the open heaven above us, we think differently, we speak different, and we act different. When we become aware of God's presence, it means that our attention is on Him. And when our attention is on Him, we worship Him. And when we worship Him, we draw near to Him with our hearts and not just with our lips. Our heart is the initial meeting point for heaven and earth. Praise and worship are continually happening in heaven. And when we join in worship here on earth by pouring out our love for God, we create a powerful connection with heaven. So in Jacob's dream, the angels were ascending and descending into heaven on the staircase. It was like a two-way street. They went up to heaven and then they came down again. You know, as we worship God, bringing Him praise, adoration, thanksgiving, we are drawing closer to Him and He draws closer to us. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "Yet you are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." God is enthroned on our praises. That's why He is present when we start to worship Him and to praise Him. When we offer our praises to God in our brokenness, God manifests His glory in us on earth because He is enthroned upon our praises. Our praises releases His glory. And His responses through the Holy Spirit to our praises then is can be so many forms: prophecy, healings, miracles, affirmations, awe, conviction of our sins, salvation of sinners. There's just so many. You know, John 4:23 urges us that when we worship Him, we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. So worshiping in spirit and in truth is the heart and the mind attitude that we are worshiping God with. And it needs to be authentic and sincere. Maintaining an open heaven requires us to be aware of His presence and living in that awareness constantly. It is a constant state of praise and worship, of adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe you've heard Bill Johnson say this. He talks about when you are aware of the dove on your shoulder, which is the Holy Spirit, you walk differently because you walk aware of the dove. Have you ever had a lorikeet sit on you? You don't want to move because you don't want him to fly away. And that is how we need to be aware of the Holy Spirit, but also of God's presence. When we are aware of His presence, then we start to walk differently and we respond differently to all situations and circumstances. The second key to maintain an open heaven over our lives is to expect transformation to follow. So everyone this morning that came down and even in the seats, when you believed God for something, expect that to happen. Verse 18 says, "Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it." Jacob was so impacted by this encounter that he had with God that he decides to build an altar. When he poured the oil over the stone, he consecrated that pillar as a memorial to God. Now, an altar is a represent the occasion and a place where we had a personal encounter with God. Throughout the Old Testament, there are so many places that we read of the Israelites building an altar. because God came through for them or he delivered them. Genesis 8 verse 20, 12 verse 7, 13 verse 8, 22 verse 9, 26 verse 25, and it goes on and on. Exodus 17 verse 15. You know, they wanted, the Israelites wanted the generations to come to know that the altar, that heap of stones they've put together, it stood as a testimony of a time and a place of God's goodness, his provision and his deliverance to them as a nation. And they continued to tell the story. So when years later they would come upon that pillar or the altar that they called, that they built, that they can remember, this is what I was told, what happened here. But who knows that altars have a price tag? God intends that something be altered in us when we come to an altar. When we come out to the front and you encounter God, there needs to be something that gives. There needs to be a change. It takes rocks and broken pieces to build those altars that the Israelites built. We build an altar by bringing those hard, broken places and things in our lives before the Lord, and then we leave them there. This is when transformation can take place, when we leave the broken pieces of our lives at the altar, when we leave it at his feet. That's when we allow him to transform the broken places into a life of wholeness in Christ Jesus. To receive his promise, we need to be transformed into vessels that can carry his presence so that he can release the promises he has for us in those vessels. That transformation comes at a cost. I often tell the kids, and Elizabeth is my latest victim, if you want to be good at something, you have to practice, you have to persevere, you have to sacrifice, you have to train and train and train more. I'm sure that's what Eamon's was doing. Oh no, that's not Eamon, your boy. Anyway, that's what Eamon's doing, where he's in America playing baseball at the moment. You know, you practice and you practice and you persevere. Transformation is painful. It is God pruning away the dead and barren branches in our lives in order for the new life and growth to happen. Giving up the things that stand in the way of us living the life that lines up with the promises of God is the price we pay for our transformation. I'll say that again. Giving up the things that stands in the way of us living the life that lines up with the promises of God, that is the price we pay for transformation. When we live in a constant state of awareness, transformation will follow. It will. It's an automatic result. JJ always says, what you focus on grows. If you focus on the positive, you will see the positive and that will grow. You know, the more we look to Jesus, the more we become like him. Our old thoughts and behaviors will change to become more Christ-like because of the example that he sets for us. Ephesians 4 verse 22 to 24. So maintaining an open heaven over our lives requires us to expect that transformation in our lives. When we are in God's presence, we will change because imperfection is perfected in his presence. They say to surround yourself with people or to rub shoulders with those people that you would like to become like. When you're a young adult, I'm sure you've heard that 1,000 times. You know, let's expect that to happen, that transformation in his, to become more transformed into his likeness on a daily basis under an open heaven because we are in his presence. The third key to maintain an open heaven is to be the house of God. Verse 19 to 22, he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on the journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar with God will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob named that place Bethel, which means house of God. Jacob could see in the heap of stones the house of God that would arise through God's faithfulness to him and the generations to come. The city there already had a name. He didn't have to give it a new name. It was called Luz, and Luz means separation or departure. God called Jacob to depart from the life of deceit and mediocrity that he lived, and to separate himself to God and follow him from that point onwards. Like Jacob, God calls us to separate ourselves to him. And when we do, we become the house of God. This scripture in Genesis is the first time that the house of God is mentioned in the Bible. Bethel, the house of God, was a place filled with God's presence. It was a gateway to heaven. It was a stairway with angels, and it brought revelation. Jesus came to be an example of the house of God for us. It's the dwelling place of God and men under one roof, living in one body. He was the initial fulfillment of the house of God. But today, we, the church, are his house as he dwells in us. John 14, verse 23. We now become a gateway for those that we come in contact with every day to come to God through our message of new life in Christ Jesus. Jacob endeavored to grasp this promise that God made to him and to adopt the Lord as his God, like his father and his grandfather did. He didn't make the vow in verse 20 to 22 as a bribe, like, God, if you do this, then I will do that. God, if you do this, then I will call you my God. He said, no. He was formalizing his relationship with God, and he was making a promise back to God. Who knows that Jacob's life from that point onwards was never the same. Read the story, but even without reading the story, you can just imagine. So 20 years later, he made the journey back to Canaan to face his brother Esau. And this time he was not alone. He had his wives, his children, his servants, his animals, his belongings. It was a huge procession because God promised him a blessed life. And God promised him that he will bring him back to that place again. God gave him wisdom and favor during those 20 years, and the result was blessings on his life. When we live under an open heaven and begin to do on earth what is done in heaven, then heaven responds and changes our earthly reality. Firstly, though, we need to align ourselves with heaven through Jesus, laying down those things that hinder us at the altar. Then we begin to synchronize with the Holy Spirit through his anointing, which manifests supernaturally in our physical actions and life. That is when heaven and earth meet and become one. So this morning we were singing, we were worshiping God, we were praising him. And we were aware of his presence. We are expecting transformation to come out of the things and the brokenness and the tears that we brought down to the altar. It's not a heap of stones, but whenever we come before God and we lay things down, that's our altar. We lay the broken things down in front of him. And we expect transformation. We expect in our faith that things are going to come out, that testimonies are going to come from the broken things, the altars that we built here this morning. When heaven and earth meet in our lives, we are transformed into the sons and the daughters that God has called and purposed for us to be. It's a continual process, though, of becoming and being aware of His presence, of expecting transformation to happen, and actively being the house of God. As believers, as sons and daughters, we never arrive at completion. That will only come one day when we see Jesus in eternal life. It is a continual process of being transformed on a daily basis to become more and more like Jesus. Living aware of the open heaven over our lives is what fuels the continual transformation and enables us to be the gateway for others to come to God through our message and new life in Jesus. The team can come and join me. So this morning, I want to ask you the question, which one of those areas do you feel challenged with today? What area do you feel that you need to grow in? Do you need to be more aware of His presence in your everyday? Do you need to be more intentional about expecting transformation and cultivating transformation? Boldness and courage, is that what you need to actively be the house of God? Maybe one or two or all three of these areas are challenging you this morning. I would love to pray with you this morning. I invite you to stand with me because I need courage for some of those areas in my life. What do you need to lay before God? Build an altar. The broken pieces that you want to bring to Him this morning, that you want Him to take and to perfect in His presence. What are those things that you're going to lay down and one day you give the testimony, not just to your children, but to those people that you come in contact with, of saying, there was a day when this is what I gave to God and this is what I received in return. My life was going in that direction. And because I continuously put myself in His presence and expected transformation, He's turned my life upside down and He turned my life around and I'm going into a different direction. I'm a new beginning. I'm a new vessel and I'm walking into the promises that He's given to me because I allowed Him to transform my life. So if any of those things this morning resonate with you, I invite you to stand with me and I'm just going to do a prayer for us this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.